The Lord be with you.
I
wouldn't call myself a runner, but I do run some. It helps me feel healthy, but it also is good for my mind because it's easy for me to live in my thoughts, in my head. And so I find it's really good to get into my body and move around. And maybe a month ago, I don't remember what inspired me. It was probably because I only had 15 minutes to exercise in the morning, and so I wanted to get a good workout in, and I thought, maybe I'll see how fast I can run 1 mile. And I tried, and I took off, and it felt invigorating at first. I felt alive. I felt like I was flying, and pretty soon I started to feel the burning in my lungs, but I kept pushing myself, and I ran that mile about as fast as I could, and I stopped my watch, and I thought, wow, that was pretty good. I felt pretty good about myself. I had heard about this man, Eliud Kipchoge, who did something we thought was impossible. He ran a marathon in under 2 hours, 26.2 miles. That's the distance from this church to Zeeland, Michigan. He ran it in 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds. Do you know how fast each mile was? I think he ran about 13 miles an hour the whole time, which was 4.5 minutes each mile. I won't tell you how fast I ran 1 mile, but it was nowhere close to that. Isn't it amazing what human beings are capable of when they discipline themselves? Throughout the Bible and the history of the church, the life of faith is often compared to running a race or going on a long, difficult journey. A well-known passage is Hebrews 12. Let us throw off everything that stands in our way. Let us put aside the sin that wants to hold on to us so tightly. And let us keep on running the race that is marked out for us. And in his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, run in a way that will get you the prize. All who take part in the race train hard. And in the early church, there were men and women who felt called by God to train hard, to train their souls in a way that they would win the prize, they would finish the race well. And so they went out into the desert to live a life of solitude, and they disciplined their souls. They talked about the caves they lived in the desert as their spiritual gymnasium, as their weight room, as their treadmill, where they worked on their soul through prayer and through fasting and through silence and through study to grow their spiritual muscles, to build their spiritual endurance. So Kipchoge, for 4 months before this marathon, he trained every day in Kenya at his training camp. He had a coach that knew him well and that gave him everything he needed to do. He built his whole life for those 4 months around preparing for this race. And listen to what a New York Times article says about those 4 months. Kipchoge led a monastic existence there, eating, sleeping, and exercising for the sole purpose of running fast. A monastic existence. He built his life around this goal of winning the prize, of running a marathon in under 2 hours. It's amazing. But what about us? What about me who can't run 1 mile as fast as he can run 26? of them. What about us who will probably never go into the desert to live a life of solitude? What about us who are ordinary saints who are trying to just keep moving, who are trying not to collapse on the race? What about us? How do we find the strength to go on? How do we not compare ourselves to people we think are so much holier than us? How do we not get stuck? How do we stay on the path? How do we remain on the course? We heard from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, and he writes this: "Brothers and sisters, remain strong in the faith. Hold on to what we taught you." When Paul speaks about the faith or the teaching, he's not just talking about ideas that we have to get right. Yes, he is talking about doctrine, but not only that. He's talking about a way of life, a way of living, what we do with our bodies each day, how we relate to others in community. This is what Paul is saying, the faith, the gift that they've passed on, this way of living and being in relation with God and others. So the Christian faith is this way of life, this path we're traveling. So Kipchoge ran this amazing marathon in Vienna, Austria. That's a map of his course. They chose Vienna because it was ideal. Not too hot, not too cold, very flat, very straight course, the perfect altitude above sea level for his breathing. But that's not our life. We don't get to set up the ideal course for ourselves. We have ideas, we have desires, but that's not the path we've walked. So many of our journeys have come up against pitfalls and cliff edges and holes we couldn't see, hot sun and strong winds that want to force us off the path. We don't have an ideal course to walk. There are so many forces that want to keep us from moving on in our journey of faith. Before the gospel, before the good news came to these Thessalonians, I expect Satan didn't have to worry about them all that much. These folks were making sacrifices to different idols. They were involved in Roman rituals of allegiance. Satan didn't have to worry about them. But when the good news of Jesus came, then Satan began to pay attention, and he said, "This is dangerous. I don't want these folks to find the way to God. I want to keep them off that path." And so the Thessalonians began to experience all this resistance, both in their own community. There were lies. We heard about this last week, the fake news that Jesus has come and gone and you missed him. These lies in the community that tried to push them off the way. And we'll hear next week about some in the community who thought, "Well, if Jesus has already come, what's the point? I don't have to work. I don't have to take care of myself. I don't have to care about my neighbor. Or if Jesus is coming tomorrow, I don't have to do much. What's the point?" So there were pressures inside the community, but there were also forces outside the community that tried to hold them down, that tried to squeeze them in. There was persecution from the Jewish community, from the synagogue. Some of them had left the synagogue. And the Jewish community felt betrayed, and they don't want this following of Jesus to grow. And then there were folks in the city who, Gentiles, who felt betrayed by their friends and their family who went to follow Jesus, because now they're not spending money at my shop where I can sell the idols, and they're not participating in our social events. So they persecuted this small church, and these believers are feeling the pressure. They're feeling the forces that want to keep them from moving on, from running the race. And they don't know if they have the strength to go on. They're really doubting. if this is all worth it. Have you ever wondered that in your own journey? Have you felt the pressures, the forces that want to push you off the path of following Jesus? I don't know what you're facing today or what those pressures are for you, but I'm sure they're there. I don't know what burdens you're carrying that want to push you down, but I know we all carry them. I know that Satan does not want to see us run the race well. He doesn't want to see us full of joy and hope and strength. He wants to push us off the course. So how do we find the strength to go on? You know the story of God's people in the wilderness for 40 years trying to find the promised land. And they did not have a roadmap of where they were going. They never got a timeline of how long this journey would take. But oh, they had to want those things, right? Don't we all want those things? We want a guide to our life to show us what's ahead, to know which way to go. We want to know how long this season is going to last, how much more waiting we have to endure. But God doesn't give us those things. But God gave his people something better, his presence. A cloud by day and a fire by night. God dwelt with his people. And they had to follow God's presence. They didn't know how long God's presence would rest in this place. Sometimes it would be a day, sometimes it would be a month. But they followed. In order to stay on the course, to run the race of faith, they had to stay close to God's presence. And friends, that's the only way for us to find the strength to go on. To stay close to the presence of God in our lives by coming together as God's people, by coming to worship, by coming to the table, by listening to God's word, by returning to prayer every day. Even in the times and seasons when we feel lost in the wilderness, when it feels our souls feel dry, when prayer feels pointless, when we don't hear God's voice, that's especially when we need to try and stay close to God's presence. These practices of faith keep us on the path. You know what else I learned about Kipchoge's record marathon? He didn't run it alone. Not at all. So I researched this. The whole race, he had a team of runners around him. They formed a V in front to create an aerodynamic space, a pocket where there was no wind resistance for him to run. And they set the pace for him. Can you see this little green laser line? There's an electric car in front of the group going exactly at the right speed, setting the pace. And it put a laser on the road so they knew exactly where to run so they wouldn't miss the narrow path, the most efficient route. And these runners, there were 35 in total. So at certain times, they would move and new runners would come in, refresh runners to keep the pace. And every once in a while, someone on a bike would come close to Elihud and they would pass him a special gel or liquid to fuel his energy. This man did not run this race alone. He had so much support. It was a huge team effort for this runner to run a marathon in under 2 hours. He was surrounded. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race marked out for us. Friends, do you believe you're surrounded? That we have a cheering section of saints in heaven that surround us, that are saying, keep going, don't give up. We've gone ahead of you. Jesus has gone ahead of you, and he's won the race so we can keep going. And there's no isolated heroes in this race of faith. There's no one who does this alone. No one. Even those holy fathers and mothers in the desert, they had people visiting them, bringing them food. They had a community of people that knew them. We need each other to run this race of faith. None of us can do it alone. Satan would love you to think that. He would love you to think it's just on you. It's your strength that matters here, and you're not strong enough. No, we're together in this. Amen? Amen. So the community of faith gives us the strength to go on. When Kipchoge crossed the finish line, he was not huffing and puffing and about to fall over. He was smiling with this joyful face. He was pounding his chest. He just run 26 miles at 4.5 minutes a mile, and he wasn't collapsing. He ran, he finished the race with joy, and he embraced his family, and he was lifted up on the shoulders of those other racers. There was a joy. There was a joy ahead of him. Maybe it didn't feel like that at mile 5 and 6 and 7, but there was a joy waiting. There was a joy at the finish line. Paul says, salvation comes through the Holy Spirit's work. The Spirit makes people holy. Friends, it's so easy for us to forget that this life of faith is a gift of God. We so make it into our project, into something we have to do. But it's something that's been done for us. It's something that's been given to us. It's something we've been invited into. So we can run with joy and freedom and hope, knowing that it's not all on us, that there's those who've gone ahead of us, who've set the pace. There's those who support us, who are waiting to welcome us home. If we forget that this life of faith is a gift, we will fall and we will fail because we will think it's on us. But if we remember that this salvation, this life of faith is a gift of God, then we'll be grateful. We'll be full of thanks. We'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I get to run. Thank you that I can struggle. Thank you that I get to learn how to do this with a people who are encouraging me. Thank you, Lord. Gratitude, gratitude. Coming back to thanksgiving. And above all, let us keep looking to Jesus. He is the one who started this journey of faith, and he is the one who finishes it. He paid no attention to the shame of the cross. He suffered there because of the joy that was before him. Friends, we fix our focus on Jesus. We know that he went ahead of us, that he finished the race, that he won the prize, that he did not give up and he did not give in. And do you know what? Jesus, he wears your name on his running jersey. He's got your number. And he won the race. And he did it for you who are struggling way back at mile 1. He won it for you. He wears your name. He saves a place for you at the finish line. Jesus has won the race for us. So we can run after Jesus with freedom, with hope, with strength, believing that God will give us the strength to go on when we look to Jesus. When we look to Jesus. And we heard from Isaiah, those who trust in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will fly as high as eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not grow weak. Those who trust in the Lord. This is his race. It's his race. And we're with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.